If you would turn with us this morning, we're going to take a reading lesson from the Gospel of John, just a few verses from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I'm going to start in the 33rd verse, the 33rd verse of the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And it begins, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And I'll go back up to the first clause in that 38th verse. 38th verse, Pilate saith unto them, unto him, what is truth? That's my thought this morning. What is truth? I've tried to preach from this text on probably more than one occasion. It's one of those texts that jumps out at me every time I read it. And every time I think about it, and the Lord calls it to mind, it's just one of those texts. We've all got those that just really speak something. And to me, this is a very a deep and meaningful text, particularly this question, almost rhetorical. I think it was rhetorical. He didn't stick around to get an answer. He just asked the question. I think it was rhetorical. But Pilate said, what is truth? And I want to set that before us this morning because I believe that that question, what is truth, is a question that was as pertinent then. It's pertinent now and throughout the history of mankind all the way to the beginning, and I believe all the way through to the end it will be so. This question, what is truth, that really cuts to the heart of the matter. It cuts to the heart of the gospel. Jesus said, what did he say there? He said, For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Jesus said, my whole existence is to bear witness to the truth. Now, a witness is someone that declares something, that says, this is true, this I have seen, this I know. Jesus said he came to be a witness unto the truth. And Pilate, to that said, what is truth? What is truth? I think that's, again, it's a question that's asked many times today, or at least it ought to be asked. And to tell you the truth, every person ought to ask themselves at some point, what is truth? It's probably the most important question that you can ask yourself is, what is truth? What is true? Now, I want to draw a distinction here for you, and we're going to kind of try to work with this distinction as we go on. I'm not talking necessarily about facts. You know, we live in a time where it's hard to even get true facts. You know, the world out there, whether it's the entertainment industry, whether it's the media industry, and listen, media is an industry. Don't ever think it's anything other than that. They're there to make money, just like anybody else. There's no honest journalism left. There's no honest journalist left. I don't care, left, right, center, liberal, conservative, doesn't matter. They're all in it for the money. So don't expect to find any truth there, and you probably won't find many facts to tell you the truth. Now, my point is that facts and truth are different. Facts are just things, but truth is higher. Truth transcends facts. Now, truth must be congruent with facts. What does that mean? That means truth cannot contradict facts. Facts make up the truth, but truth transcends mere facts. Facts are just the building blocks of truth. Too many people in the world are focused with the facts, trying to get the facts, and we can't even get the facts right, folks. You go on to this news site or that news site or anything, they all got different facts to tell you. Some of them are true and some of them are false. But listen, when it comes to understanding truth, see, truth transcends those facts. It builds those facts into a narrative of, but why? Now, disingenuous people will take fact by only taking a few facts, or by taking select facts, we can weave a narrative of truth that is one direction or the other. Listen, every person needs to ask themselves, you might be able to rely on other people to get you facts, right? There's certain facts, right? George Washington, whatever year he was born, whatever year he became president, how many ever years he was president, right? Those facts, listen, I have to rely on somebody else, right? Because I wasn't there. I wasn't there. I have to rely on historians that search those things out and write them down. So those are facts. I have to rely on other people to get those facts. And that's just a small example. Sometimes you have to rely on other people to get your facts. But don't ever rely on somebody else to get your truth. Truth transcends facts. You need facts to build it up, but truth is something you have to find for yourself. Because I'm telling you, there's a day coming that every person is going to stand and answer for themselves how they reacted to the truth. How did you search out the truth? What did you do with the truth when it was presented to you? Every one of us is going to have to give an answer for that. And so, I encourage people to ask, what is truth? I believe God encourages people to ask, what is truth? You know why? Because God has given us some answers. Jesus said he came to bear witness to the truth. God is not looking for mindless followers. He is looking for people that earnestly are looking for the truth. People that earnestly want to ask, what is the truth? And God stands ready to reveal it. But the truth transcends the facts. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of that from the world around us and the scriptures as they relate to those things. All right, let's talk about some facts. Facts. There is a world of things around us, a universe of matter around us, isn't there? There is a sun, there's a moon, there's stars, there's the heavens, there's trees, there's the landscape, the oceans, animals, people. Everything in the created world exists. That's a fact. It's there. You can see it. Now, the question arises, but how did it get there? That's where we begin to transcend the facts. We all agree with the facts. Whether you're Christian, Buddhist, Jew, Muslim, atheist, whatever you might be, we all agree with the facts. There's a universe around us. There's a material world. There's trees. There's animals. There's humans. There's life. But then the search for truth leads us to the question, but how did it get here? Well, the Bible presents us with some more facts. See, God didn't leave us to wonder. He presented some facts. He inspired Moses to write down the facts of what happened. I'm going to tell you the facts. How did this world and all of creation get here? God spoke it into existence. That's how it got here. That's a fact. And you might say, well, that's not a fact. Yes, it is. It's a fact because God said it. Now, whether you believe it to be a fact or not, that's something different. But it's a fact. It's something that God has given us right here. We still haven't got to the level of truth. We still haven't got to the level of why. Why did he create it? We'll get there in the course of this sermon, God willing. But the fact remains. people look around and they see that some people do bad things. Yes, it's true. Some people lie and cheat and steal and murder and do all kinds of bad things to other people. That's a fact. We all can agree on that. That happens. Doesn't matter whether you're a Christian, other religion, atheist, whoever, we all agree that happens. Now, the next level in the pursuit of truth is, but why? Now, there's all kinds of reasons that the world has come up with, and we got psychology, and we got sociology, and we've got brain chemistry, and we've got all these other things the world they're trying to explain. But listen, there's a fact. God has laid out the facts. Why do people do bad things? They do bad things because man fell. See, God didn't create it that way. He didn't create it for men to do bad things. He did not create it with bad things in this world. This creation, when it first sprang from the lips of God, when He spoke it into existence, it was perfect. And there were no bad things. And nobody was doing any bad things. All those came because man fell. Man fell from his righteous state. God created him righteously, and he fell from that because he disobeyed God. Now, those are facts. Those are facts that God tells us. He inspired Moses to write those facts down to explain to us what we see around us. We see that men do bad things. They do bad things because Adam transgressed the law and plunged his children all the way down to you and I into this thing called sin. Oh, there it is. Men don't like to think about sin, but listen, that's a fact. We can call bad things whatever we want. We can call it a bad upbringing, poor choices, bad brain chemistry, imbalance in this, whatever, all the different things that are going on out there in the world. But the fact is, it's sin. It's missing the mark. It's falling short of the righteousness of God. It's transgressing the law of God. Those things are sin, and sin came into the world. It got here. We observe it. Everybody observes sin, and the Bible tells us how it got here. He got here because Adam willingly transgressed the law. He disobeyed God. He brought sin into the world. Another thing that we can all look about us and agree upon, Christian, atheist, whoever, we see that out here in this world there is death, disease, and decay. That's a fact. None of us can disagree with that. We see that there is death. The animals die. The plants die. People die. There is decay. If you leave something, it will turn long enough, whether it's a living organism or an inanimate object, it will decay back into dust. You can take a brand new Cadillac, brand new Escalade, BMW, whatever you want. You park it out in the middle of a field. Don't touch it. Don't do anything to it. And I guarantee you in 30 years, it'll be rusted down to nothing, won't it? Yeah, because it decays. You take a tree and sever it from its roots, it will decay. You watch a life, it will grow, and then it will begin to decay. Death overtakes all things that are living eventually. And then there is disease. There are things we're in the midst of, this disease that's going around that attacks the body and takes people's lives prematurely, makes them sick, takes away their ability to breathe, all these other things. And there's all kinds of other diseases. There's cancer and all these horrible things. Those are facts. We can all say that it's there. But the next question is, why is it there? And again, God answers with a fact. Sin. Sin came into the world. Sin defiles everything that it touches. It has defiled the body of man. God said, on the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He said later that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. This flesh is tainted by sin, and it will die. And it, Adam's sin, I want you to understand, his sin didn't just affect mankind. It affected all of creation. See, because you go back here and you'll see that God put all of creation under the dominion of Adam. The animals, the garden, the trees, everything was given to man. He was responsible for it. And let me tell you, when you're responsible for something and you fall down on that, when you fall short of your responsibility, it affects everything that's put in your charge. And Adam didn't just defile himself with sin. He didn't just defile his children and his progeny down to you and I with sin. He defiled all of creation with sin. The Bible says that the thorns and the thistles grew up. The earth would no longer easily yield its fruit. And there became disease and all these other things. All of creation was defiled because of Adam's sin. And that is why it says over in Romans that death entered by one man. That is why there is death. Humans die, animals die, plants die, things decay into nothing. Everything that God created is on a path of decay and destruction because of sin. That's the fact. That's the fact. That's what the Bible declares. And so these are some of the main observations that have twisted up men's minds from the beginning of time. You know, how did it all get here? Why is there sin? Why do people do bad things? Why is there death? Why is there disease? God answers all of that. He gives us facts. This is why. This is where it came from. I created it. This is why men do bad things. Because Adam fell and brought sin into the world. This is why things die and people die. And there's death and disease and destruction and decay. Because sin defiles everything that's touched. All of creation. These are facts. These are facts. Now, we all, as I said, ought to be asking ourselves, what is truth? Why? But why? Okay, so God has even given us those things, but why? Why did He create us? Why did He create everything? But why did man sin? Why is death reigning? All of these things. I'll tell you some other fact. Let me tell you one more fact. Now, men in recent times have begun to deny this, but if you just put away all of that nonsense that you hear from so-called science and everything else, listen, every one of us knows that there's something after this life. That's a fact that resonates deep within us. We know from the very beginning, as soon as we're old enough to begin to question and to wonder, there's something within us that knows that there's something beyond this life. That the grave cannot be the end. That there's some part of us that goes beyond the grave. There is a part of us that understands that. And the fact is that the Bible attests to that. That yes, each and every man, God breathed into man. See, He created the world. He spoke and the fish come up out of the sea. He spoke and the animals come up out of the land. But listen, He formed man with His own hands out of the dust of the ground. And then He bent down. I picture Adam laid out there, fully formed but cold and lifeless. And it said, God Himself breathed into the nostrils of man the very breath of life. And he became a living soul. Man was created special. That's a fact. A wide gulf, an uncrossable chasm separates man from animal. And it is that breath of life from God. And that breath of life from God goes on past the grave. That's a fact. Listen, there's a part of you, each and every one of us, that will live beyond the grave. The question is where and how? That's the real question. But listen, the Bible attests to that fact, that the soul will live on past the grave. Back to questioning. Questioning. There's different ways to question, though, isn't there? There's different ways to ask this question, what is truth? I want to talk about a few different ways that people can ask that question, what is truth? Types of inquiry. The first and saddest is the unbeliever. You can ask that question, and many do, with unbelief. Unbelief in Jesus Christ, unbelief in God, unbelief in the answer that God has given and continues to give. You know, there's a lot of different systems out there that are opposed to Christianity. Of course, there's atheism, agnosticism, deism, mysticism, New Ageism, all these different things, and they all have various different things that they assert to be true. But you know what they all have in common? They all deny the very same thing. You know what they deny? They all agree in their denial of a personal God that is personally involved in creation and works at times miraculously upon His creation. They deny that. They deny it vehemently. They do not believe it to be true. As a matter of fact, they don't want it to be true. And the man that is, or woman that is set in their unbelief, that is not going to believe that. They don't want God to be the way that He is. They don't want Jesus Christ to be Lord. They don't want there to be a cross. They don't want there to be a blood-stained Calvary. They don't want there to be a resurrection. And they sure don't want there to be repentance for sin and a change in life. They don't want it to be that way. And they will refuse to believe the truth. And they ask the question, what is truth, in unbelief, unwilling to accept that truth for what it is. And there's nothing that we can do with one who is set in their unbelief. But see, I don't know who those people are. You don't know who those people are, but God does. But I encourage you, friend, don't ever be a person that asks what is truth in unbelief. Unbelieving that this could be true. You know, there's people that just won't give this book the time of day. They won't give Jesus the time of day. They won't even inquire in this direction because they are set in their unbelief. That's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that people would discount some aspect, something to be true without inquiring about. You know, it's the most important question you can ask. I said when I started that every one of us is going to have to give an account for what we did with the question, what is truth? How did we search out truth? What did we do when we were pointed towards truth? What did we do when truth was revealed to us? And some people won't give Jesus, they won't give God, they won't give this Bible, they won't give Christianity the time of day because they're set in unbelief. And that's a sad place to be. I pray that none of you would ask the question, what is truth, in unbelief. But now there's also skepticism. Skepticism is wondering if it's even possible to know. Maybe at times despairing if you can ever even know the truth. But this is a natural phase. I believe that every thinking being goes through this phase at some point of asking, what is truth, with an eye towards skepticism? No matter what we have been taught, you will get to the point. I got to the point. I was raised in this old-time way, but I came to a point where I asked, now, is that really true? Is that really true? What is really true? Is the things that I have been taught really the things that are true? Or are they not? I became skeptical. Skeptical of what I've been taught. What if I've just been brainwashed? What if I've just been indoctrinated? What if I only believe this because mommy and daddy believed it and grandma and grandpa believed it? What if it's not really true? And so I became somewhat skeptical. And I spent some years trying to find. I wasn't very diligent about trying to find, but in the back of my mind was this skepticism. What is really true? And I was asking, what is really true with some degree of skepticism? And I would look at this system and say, nah, I don't think that's true. And I'd look at this other system and, nah, I don't think that's true. What is truth? Skeptical. Can I even know the truth? Listen, that's a natural stage to go through, particularly if you're a young person and you're a teenage or college years right now. If you are asking that question, what is truth, with some degree of skepticism, I don't fault you. I tell you that that is normal. It's okay to ask with some degree of skepticism, what is true? If you've been raised in this old-time way and you're getting to an age and you're wondering, listen, God will answer. He doesn't mind if you inquire, is this really true? Because He's given us the truth. He's given us the truth. Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. But the question is, are you going to keep seeking? Unfortunately, there's some that get caught in that in that stage of skepticism, and they never really get out of it. They never really stepped beyond it. But I want to tell you, you've got to step beyond it. You've got to get beyond it. Because how are you going to go through life wondering all your life what is true? That's the most important question you can answer. Listen, if you're not settled in your mind with what is true, that's okay. But you need to get settled. You need to get settled on it right now. Young person, if you're questioning what you've been taught, what the preacher has preached, what mom and daddy have taught you, what grandma and grandpa have taught you, listen, that's okay. But don't lay your head to bed tonight without coming up with an answer. Listen, you can't go through life not getting this thing settled. You need to get settled what is true. Don't be like Pilate. He asked the question but wasn't really concerned with the answer. If he was really concerned with the answer, he would have stuck around to hear what Jesus had to say. He didn't even give it the time of day. See, because he wasn't really concerned. I believe he was skeptical. Maybe he was to that point that he believed he just had resigned himself that he could never know truth. Maybe he was to the point that he believed truth didn't even exist. Oh, that's a bad place to get to. That's a dangerous, terrible place to get to. Listen, if you're unsettled, if you're still asking yourself what is true, that's okay. God will give you an answer, but you've got to see. Don't ever be satisfied to just say, well, I don't know. I don't know, and I don't care. Oh, that's a bad place to be. I believe that's where Pilate was at. He said, I don't know about truth, and I don't really care. Pilate said, I believe in his mind he cared about legions. He cared about scores. He cared about political power. He cared about military power. But he didn't care about the higher question that transcends facts. What is true? He didn't really care about that. Don't let yourself get there. Don't get so concerned with the money and the job and the family and the car and the getting the education and getting here in life and getting there in life and losing sight of the most important question is what is truth? You got to get that settled. You got to get that answered. And listen, that brings us to the next phase, and this is an important place to be, of honest. You got to get past skepticism and get into honest inquiry. I want to find the truth. I want to find the truth. I want to find it. And I'll look anywhere for it. Listen, there's a lot of people that are there. They're looking here, and they're looking there, and they're looking all over the place. Back in the 60s and stuff, there's people going to India and trying to climb up mountains to meditate with these Buddhist monks or whatever. Because they were searching for truth. They were trying to find it, but they weren't looking in the right place. They weren't looking in the right place. But you've got to have an honest heart of inquiry. I got to a point that I was saved when I was 11 years old. But I told you I got into a point of skepticism. And then unfortunately I allowed myself to stay there, unsettled, for a lot of years. Just saying, well, you know, I maybe this is true, maybe that's not true. But I'm focusing on the family. I'm focusing on the job, the career, the money. And I spent a lot of time right there, never getting it settled. But at a certain point, when I was about 35 years old, God got down serious with me. And he said, son, you need to get serious about what the truth is. You need to get off the fence and find the truth and get settled on it. And then live it. And I finally got to that point and said, God, show me. Show me. Whatever the truth is, I want to know. I want to know it. If it's not being an old-time Baptist, I'll be a Pentecostal. I'll be a Church of Christ. I'll be Catholic. I'll be a Muslim, God. But I just want to know the truth. Have you got to that point yet? Have you got to that point of searching out the truth that you'll go wherever it is at? You just want to know. You got to get that. Honest inquiry. Honest inquiry. What is the truth? Have you asked the question that way? What is the truth, God? What is it? He's here to tell you. He has. Jesus Christ said, I came to bear witness to the truth. The truth has been witnessed. But are you honestly inquiring? What is the truth? I hope that you've got to that point. And finally, the place you've got to get to. The last stage of this thing is asking that question out of faith. See, what does that mean? What I mean is, do you want to know the truth and, this is a big and, submit to it? Oh, there's people that want to know the truth. They want to know the truth, but they don't want to submit to it. Listen, it's a hard thing to submit to the truth of God. Because the submitting to the truth of God will make you really, really small. Yeah, see, we don't like to be small. We like to be big in our own minds, don't we? We like to be big. We like to be important. We like to be strong. We like to be self-sufficient. We like to be powerful. But listen, the truth of God will shrink you down to nothing. When you begin to inquire after the truth of God, you'll begin to see yourself the way that you really are. You'll be able to see, you'll begin to see yourself as weak, as water, as insignificant, as filthy sinner. You begin to see yourself really, really small because the truth of God makes Jesus really, really big. And the bigger He gets, the smaller we get. And that's a hard thing to overcome. It's a hard thing for this flesh to submit to. So have you, if you're seeking after the truth, if you're asking the question, what is truth? My question is, are you willing to submit to it? Because God knows your heart. Listen, He's not going to reveal Himself to you if you're not willing to submit to the truth. It's one thing to know the truth. It's not. It's something else to live it, to submit to it. Are you willing to submit to the truth? That is an inquiry after faith. The heart that comes before God, God, what is truth? Willing to accept it, willing to submit to it, that's a person that God will show the truth to. Now, let me tell you what some of the things I believe that the Bible tells us are true. We're going to be quick here. This is the truth I believe, as much as I can condense it down, that Jesus bore witness to. This is the truth that God will reveal to you. Listen, don't believe this because I told it to you. I'm telling you, seek out, ask the question, what is truth? Ask it to God. Ask it sincerely and earnestly. God, what is truth? And when you show it to me, I will submit to it. He'll make this evident. He will implant this in your heart. He'll show you. Listen, I believe this, what I'm about to tell you, not because I was taught it, though I was. I don't believe it because it's what I was raised with, though it was. I believe it because God revealed it to me to be true through the person and the work and the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, this is true. Jesus is God. There it is. I can't be more plain about it. Jesus is God. The same Jesus that was born in a manger. The same Jesus that walked in this earth, that called those disciples unto Himself. The same Jesus that they whipped and spit upon and hung on that cross. The same Jesus that poured out His lifeblood there on Calvary. The same Jesus that rose again on the third day by the power of God. He is God. Jesus is God. That's true. That's true. And you know what that bears witness to? That God Himself, the creator of all the universe, the creator of mankind, the creator of everything, He loved man. Not just man in the general sense, but He loved you. He loved me enough to come down and put on these filthy robes of a servant, this flesh, and walk among us and be humiliated and to die to pay the sin debt. Yes, Jesus, God, paid the sin debt. He wiped the slate clean. He undid everything that Adam did. Because He loves you. He loves me. That's how great God's love is. That's how great His willingness is to condescend to us. That He came down and voluntarily submitted Himself to the humiliation of living as a servant, of dying on the cross, that He might wipe away the sin debt, that He might undo what Adam had done. That's what Jesus did. That's what God did. That's the truth. That's the truth. He wiped it away. I'll tell you what else is the truth. That even now, Jesus Christ is calling a people unto Him. He is calling a people. Matter of fact, He's calling all men unto Him. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Jesus Christ is calling all men. All men. All men have the opportunity to be redeemed unto God. All men have the opportunity to have their sins wiped away. All men have the opportunity for death and hell and the grave to be wiped away. repentance and faith. And when you come to Him, you know what else is the truth? He's calling you to live righteous and holy. He's calling you to be separate from sin. Listen, this is part of the gospel that people don't want to submit to. You can't just keep living in sin. You can't just keep living in rebellion unto God. You can't just keep living satisfying the lust of this flesh. You've got to put that away, and you've got to live righteous and holy before God, seeking after His righteousness. You've got to put away the flesh and seek after the spiritual things. God has called us to holy lives. Yes, indeed, that's the truth. And that's a part that people don't want to submit to. I'm saying many Christians don't want to submit to that. They've tried to work their way around it this way, and this way, and this other way. Because listen, this flesh doesn't want to submit to righteousness. It doesn't want to put away sin. It doesn't want to put away the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But that's what God has called us unto. Yes, He has. That's the truth. I'll tell you what else is the truth. There's a day coming. There's a day coming that He's going to return. He's made a promise. He's going to return. And when He does, He's going to set all things right. He's going to purge this world of sin. Listen, the death and the disease and the decay that is the result of sin that has touched this world, the Bible says, is all going to burn away. It's going to melt away like wax. It's going to be purged with fire. All the sin, it's going to go away. Jesus is going to come. He's going to purge the sin. He's going to purge the earth and even the heaven that now is going to be purged of sin, and He's going to set all things new, and it's going to be like it was supposed to be from the beginning. Listen, the Garden of Eden, it was perfection. There was no sin. No sin there. God made it just perfect, and He set man in righteous and upright without sin. And I'm telling you, Jesus is going to return, and He's going to return creation to that state. The Bible says that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to have new bodies, and we're going to be the way that we were always intended to be, because that's why Jesus came. He came and He died for that reason, to reset creation. Creation is going to be reset one day, and it's going to be perfect the way God wanted it from the beginning. Redeemed and perfected by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a fact. That's truth. That's truth. All this is going to melt away. All this is going to be gone. There'll be a new earth and a new heaven, and it'll be perfect, just like it was, like God always intended it to be. And finally, it's true that you and I will live on in eternity. At that moment when Jesus returns, or that moment that you die, whichever comes first, we shall be fixed. Our eternal future will be fixed. There is an eternity to be fixed, either in heaven and in perfection with God, or in hell and suffering and misery for all of eternity, separated from God. And the dividing line is the question, what is truth? That is the question that will separate. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I come to bear witness unto the truth. Listen, if you come to Jesus and accept His truth, if you repent and believe upon Him, you'll spend eternity in glory with Him. And if you refuse that truth, if you will not ask earnestly the question, what is truth? If you will not come unto Him and accept the truth that He has, that He is, then you'll spend eternity separated from Him in hell. That's the facts. That's the facts, and that's the truth. I'm going to wind this down. I appreciate your attention. I encourage you, saints of the Lord, I encourage you in the truth. I encourage you in the truth of Jesus Christ. If you're wondering, if you're still searching for truth, I encourage you to keep searching, keep asking. And when you get earnest, when you get serious, when you in your heart honestly are asking with the expectation that God will answer, God, what is the truth? I heard a preacher say one time, an older preacher, he said he was talking to a guy one time, witnessing to him, and he was telling him, you know, they needed to pray, they just needed to get honest with God. And the fellow said, you know, I don't even know if there is a God. And this preacher told him, well, tell Him that. See, that's the God that we serve. He wants you to get honest with Him. He wants you to get honest. Say, Lord, I don't even know if You're there, but I want to know. Lord, I don't even know if You're God or if there is a God, but I want to know. If you get that kind of serious shows it to you, buddy, you'll find it. You'll find it. That's the God will reveal the truth to somebody like that. So if you're questioning, if you're wondering, I encourage you to get down and get honest with God and say, what is the truth, God? What is the truth? And then when He shows it to you, you better go. You better go to the foot of the cross and repent and believe. Make Jesus your Lord for all of eternity. What is the truth? Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. I pray that each and every one of you will seek after the truth. Seek after the truth and then live it. Live it when God reveals it unto you. That's my message this morning. I appreciate your attention. Let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father,